Do you ever get annoyed? You're married, you get annoyed from time to time, don't you? You know, one thing that annoys me is to be on Facebook or doing emails or watching TV or listening to radio or checking out a website, and then suddenly you're bombarded with these messages. Buy now. Download. Plan your dream vacation. Buy these shoes. They're the most comfortable shoes in all the world. Contact us. Sign up. Learn more. Play this video. And on it goes. In the world of marketing, those are called CTAs. It stands for call to action. A CTA is designed by marketers to be clear, concise, and persuasive. The object is to get the consumer to take the next step. Now, I have no desire to sell you anything today. Just relax. But I do want to introduce you to what I think is the ultimate CTA in all the world, in all of history. It's the CTA assigned to the church by the risen, exalted Christ. And it's found right here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. It's his call to action for the church and for every believer. In verses 16 to 20, the Bible says this: "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Now, the New Testament indicates that there were at least 10 appearances of the risen Lord after his resurrection. A few years later, he manifested himself to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. All four of the Gospels and the book of Acts include some form of what we call the Great Commission. Our Lord's CTA to the church he created and every believer he saves is simple, it's concise, and it's very persuasive. Here it is. Are you ready for the Lord's CTA? Make disciples everywhere. Jot that down somewhere. Make disciples everywhere. I'm afraid that many church members have bought into the idea that now that they're saved, Jesus has given them the green light to show up to church when it's convenient, to give a little money to make sure the church stays afloat, to read the Bible and pray as often as they can, to support conservative moral issues. Let me say this to you. Jesus did not shed his blood on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven and that you could then do whatever you want to do for the rest of your life. It's clear. Every one of us, in one way or another, must be involved in kingdom action. Make disciples everywhere. It's clear. It's right here in the Lord's CTA. Before I get too deep into this CTA, let's dissect the text and make sure that we understand exactly what the Lord is saying to his church and to all who call themselves born-again believers. In verses 16 and 17 of Matthew 28, the Bible says, "But the 11 disciples," you say, "I thought there was 12. Well, there was. But one of them betrayed the Lord Jesus. His name was Judas, and he committed suicide, so he's no longer around. So there's 11 disciples, and they proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Boy, didn't we just worship the Lord? He's worthy, right? Man, that was such a worshipful song. And so these 11 disciples meet Jesus at the designated mountain there in Galilee, and they worshiped him. But look at this. But some were doubtful. I wrestle with that. But some were doubtful. Now, I'm sure that these 11 men were still a little shell-shocked by all that had happened in the last few days. They had experienced rapid fire highs and lows emotionally and physically. And they were probably absolutely worn out. They were thrilled to be in the presence of the resurrected Christ. At the same time, they were on edge. Don't forget what Jesus had told them before he was crucified. He said, I want you to understand something, men. I want you to understand that the world will hate you just like it hates me. I want you to understand that in following me, you will be persecuted. And I want you to understand that you can even lose your life in martyrdom for my sake. No wonder their worship was mixed with a little doubt. It was too good to be true. The Jesus that they had followed for 3 years, the Jesus that they devoted their lives to, he was alive. They'd seen him die, but he's alive. It was almost too good to be true for them. But I believe, as I thought about and meditated on this doubt that they had, I'm not sure that all of their doubt was directed to the Lord and the fact that he's resurrected from the dead and he's got a purpose and plan for them for the rest of their lives. I think some of that doubt may have been directed to themselves. They may have doubted that they could ever be all that Jesus intended for them to be. They may have doubted that they could ever pull off all that Jesus expected them to do. So their worship was mixed with that. I believe that in churches all over the world, there are genuine born-again believers who come and they worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, yet in their heart there's a little bit of doubt about one thing or the other. Maybe it's a doubt about this thing that we call the Christian life. Maybe it's a doubt about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Let me tell you something. A little doubt strengthens your faith. It really strengthens your faith because you have to dig in and you have to find out if this is true or not true. So it's very important. So here they are, and I want you, as we think about this CTA, this call to action by the Lord Jesus, I want you to see first the authority of Jesus. Look at verse 18 again. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hey, say this with me. All authority. Say it. All authority. How much authority is that? It's all of it. In heaven and on earth. The word authority refers to the freedom and the right to speak and to act as one pleases. Now, nobody in this room has that kind of authority. But I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus has the authority to speak and to act any way he chooses to act because he is the Son of the living God. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. During his ministry, he exercised his authority over demons. You remember, he would come up to a demon-possessed person and that demon-possessed person would begin to cry out, have you come to torture us before the time? And Jesus would simply say, be gone, and they would be gone. He had authority over demons. He had authority over the devil. When the devil tempted him, Jesus withstood all the temptations, kept his integrity. And Jesus said, "Be gone, devil." The devil was gone. Jesus has authority over demons. He has authority over nature. You remember when the disciples were in the boat there in the Sea of Galilee, and there was a tremendous storm, and where was Jesus? He was in the boat, sound asleep. Sound asleep. And the disciples shook him and woke him up. Lord, do you not care that we're perishing? And Jesus raised up. I can just picture him almost raising up on one elbow. And say, he said this, "Hush, be still." And instantaneously the wind stopped. Instantaneously the waves that had been crashing over the side of the boat were suddenly as still as glass. He had power over nature. He had authority over demons. He had authority over death. Remember, he stopped a funeral in the very procession. The widow of Nain, her only son, had died, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession, and he raised that boy from the dead. Jesus has all authority. He has authority over disease. He has authority over judgment. In fact, in John 5:27, Jesus said this, "And he, God the Father, gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." You understand this, that one day every person on this planet who has rejected the Lord Jesus will stand before him at the great white throne judgment, and he will judge them. And then in John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, "No one has taken it away from me." In other words, no one can take my life, and no one can stop me from being resurrected from the dead. He said, "No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay down my life, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." All authority. So what right do we have? Think about this just a moment. What right do we have to go to the people groups of the world who worship other gods or a god, and challenge them to reject their religion of choice and to reject their god or gods of choice and tell them that they must embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior? What right do we have to do that? We have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. Listen, my friend, there is only one Savior for the whole world. One Savior. And in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That truth is for people here in Carville. That truth is for people in Cambodia. That truth is for people in Cameroon and all over the world. There's only one way to be saved. You must put your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Listen, Jesus has the authority to forgive your sins, to give you the gift of eternal life, and to bring you to heaven when you die. Only he has that authority. Have you received him as your Savior and your Lord? If you haven't, at the end of this service today, I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm going to invite you to put your faith in Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord, and receive from him what only he can give you: forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, and a place with him forever in heaven. Listen, Jesus has the authority to call you out of your comfort zone to make a kingdom difference for his glory. There's no believer in this room or watching live stream who has the right to sit on your hands and not be involved in the kingdom, to take kingdom action. He's given us his CTA, his call to action. It's plain. Make disciples everywhere. Would you repeat that with me? Make disciples everywhere. That's a call to action that came from the risen, exalted Christ. And it's for every person in this room. It's for our church. All right, we've seen the authority of Jesus. Now I want you to see the command of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Now, the main verb in this passage is make disciples. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Make disciples is the main verb. Now, listen. It is a command from Jesus. It's an imperative from Jesus. This verb means that we must learn the truths he has given us in his word, and we must become his followers and, get this now, and live our lives under his authority. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a disciple. Jesus explained this as he taught his disciples. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, listen to the words of Jesus. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus defined a disciple. A disciple is one who continues in the word of Christ, and they're free. And then Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38, the Bible says that Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let me ask you, are you his disciple? Well, Pastor, I'm a church member. I didn't ask you if you're a church member. I ask you, are you his disciple? His follower? Are you living under his authority in every area of your life? Do you regularly submit to him and live in obedience to his word? In the Great Commission, there are three participles that modify this main verb of make disciples. The first one is go. Go. Look at it. In verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. There's no way that we'll make disciples of all the nations if we're not willing to go. We got to be willing to go. The Lord placed no limits on his call to action here. We have the responsibility as a church and as individual believers to make sure that the gospel goes out from us locally, nationally, and globally. I'm going to ask Weston Driver to join me up here. Weston, come up here, buddy. Weston is a student at the University of Memphis, right?
Yes, sir.
And how old are you, Weston?
I just turned 22 the other day.
22? Man, you're getting old.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. So Weston is a young man who is seriously following Christ. And he came to me recently and said, hey, Pastor, the Lord has called me to go with him on mission this summer. And so, Weston, where is the Lord leading you to go this summer?
Yeah, I'm going to Khon Kaen, Thailand in about 2.5 weeks.
And how long will you be there?
Be there for about a month and a half, 6 weeks.
A month and a half. I want to advise you, get the sticky rice.
All right.
Man, that's the best stuff you've ever put in your mouth, okay?
Yes, sir.
Sticky rice, don't forget that.
All right.
Now, what will you be doing there, Weston?
Yeah, so my team is about 14 college students from Memphis, University of Tennessee, and Rhodes College. And we'll get there, and we will be going on a college campus in Thailand, which, by the way, is 1% Christian, by the way.
Wow.
So we'll be going on the college campus, building relationships with students, and ultimately sharing the gospel following the Great Commission and trying to mobilize them to be laborers when we leave, since we'll only be there for a month and a half. We would like the students there to learn what it looks like to read the Bible, share the gospel, memorize scripture, pray, all those things.
Are you saying that you're going and your team is going to make disciples in Thailand?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're following the Lord's CTA here, okay?
Awesome.
You know, when the Bible mentions going, included in going is sharing the gospel. Wes is not going to sightsee in Thailand. Now, he'll see some stuff and he'll eat some sticky rice. But I'm telling you, he is going for one purpose, and that is to share the gospel and to make disciples among college students. So Weston, how can we pray for you?
Yeah, a couple things. One, just pray for our team that we would be faithful and bold, that we wouldn't rely on our own strength when we get there, that we wouldn't be thinking about how we can save these people, but that we would rest in the fact that all the work is done by Christ on the cross. So we would just lean on him and be faithful. And then also that our time there would be fruitful, so that the students in Thailand would learn what the gospel is, and that ultimately that it would change their eternities. And then also we are raising the support to get there ourselves, so just that we would be fully funded by June 17th when we leave.
Okay. Hey, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for Weston. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as he and the team goes to Thailand, that they would be fully 100% dependent upon you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would use them to share the gospel, to make disciples among college students. And I pray that when they get on a plane to come back to America, that there would be some genuine, authentic disciples among those Thai college students who will continue to make a difference for your kingdom. Lord, bless this young man. I pray that you'd meet every physical, spiritual, and emotional and financial need that he has in his life according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would make this team abundantly fruitful for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Weston. God bless you, buddy. All right. Now, Weston will be joining me in the foyer after the service. That little big sign says, Pastor, you come to that sign, and if you want to talk to Weston and just ask how you can pray for him or support him, he'll be right out there with me after the service. But in addition to Weston, you know, one of my prayers in this church has been that the Lord would raise up godly, spirit-filled people to be church planters, to be missionaries, to be involved in kingdom action. And I want to share these with you. Gracie Driver, Weston's sister, is in Orlando serving this summer. Praise God, runs in the family. Kirsten Dobson will be going to Honduras this summer. Adeline Riley is in London with IMB serving this summer. Ruth Ann Essery will be going to the Philippines for 1 year beginning in August. She's taking her year and going to the Philippines and working with the gospel with the Filipino people. And then Zach and Becca Tucker, would you stand up, please? Zach and Becca, boy, this couple, God has called them to be career missionaries for the International Mission Board, our Southern Baptist International Mission group. And they are going to Mexico to serve the Lord. And they will be commissioned at the Southern Baptist Convention, I guess that's what, the 10th? Is it the 10th? June the 10th. And so I just want us just briefly to pray over Zach and Becca and to pray for Ruth Ann and for these others, that God will use them in an incredible way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Gracie, who's serving you in Orlando. I thank you for Kirsten, who's going to Honduras, for Adeline, who's serving you right now in London, for Ruth Ann Esri, who will be going to the Philippines for 1 year, and for Zach and Becca Tucker, who are going to be involved in career missionary work in Mexico. Father, I pray you put your hand of favor on them. I pray you would use them in an incredible way. I pray that wherever they are, Lord, they'd make disciples for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, let me be quick to say this. You can be involved too. The whole thing about this call to action is that every believer can be involved. Let me show you a couple of ways you can be involved yourself. John Aaron and his family, John Aaron and Emily and the kids, are going on a mission trip to Indianapolis to work with Yale Wall, who came to our church, and we interviewed him, and we support him as a church planner. And if you want to be a part of that mission trip, John Aaron and Emily are going to be joining me at the same sign out there in the foyer. And that mission trip is from July the 9th to the 13th. And you can be a part of that. That is doing exactly what Jesus calls us to do. So I encourage you, sign up and be a part of that mission trip. And then we have our backyard kids clubs on June the 16th through the 19th. And we'll be all over Carville sharing the gospel with little boys and little girls and their parents. And I want to encourage you to sign up and be a part of that. There's no reason for anybody to sit on the sidelines when there's so many opportunities to be involved in kingdom action. So get in on the action this summer, I encourage you. So the first of those participles that modify the main verb, make disciples, is go. And then the second of those participles is baptizing. Notice what the Bible says. We're to go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now let me be quick to say this. Baptism has nothing to do with a person's salvation. Nobody is going to heaven because they were baptized. Nobody. I don't care what denomination they are. Nobody's going to heaven because they were baptized. Did I make that clear? Amen. We go to heaven because we repent of our sin. We place our faith in Jesus. Baptism is when somebody stands in that baptistry and they declare their allegiance to the Lordship of Christ over their lives for the rest of their lives. That's what baptism is. Now, when you study the New Testament, scriptural baptism always occurs after somebody has been saved, after they've been born again. It's never reversed in the New Testament. There's nowhere in the New Testament that says first you're baptized and then you believe. It's always you believe and then you're baptized. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, my baptism is out of order. I'm genuinely born again, but I've never been baptized. I want to encourage you to come to one of our staff members at the end of this service and say, I want to be baptized. I've got to get this right with the Lord. You say, but it's no big deal, Pastor. Well, let me ask you a question. If it weren't a big deal, why did Jesus put it in the Great Commission? He said, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. It is an important part of you declaring yourself openly to be a follower of Jesus and living under his authority. And then the final one of these participles here that modify the main verb is teaching. Look at it. The Bible says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Teaching. For new believers to grow spiritually and be all that God wants them to be, they've got to be taught the Word of God. The preaching, teaching ministry of a local New Testament church is very, very important. And it's very important in this church. And it's very important in any true Bible-believing church. This is why we offer so many men's and women's discipleship groups. This is why we offer so many different connect groups for you to be a part of and to meet with a group of believers on Sunday morning at 9:15 and to study the Bible, to study the Bible together. Let me ask you, would you like to join a connect group or a discipleship group? You can fill out your connect card, those connect cards right there in the seat in front of you. You can fill out a connect card. Boy, aren't we 21st century? We've even got QR codes. So you can look at a QR code and you say, I want to be a part of a connect group. Check it. Give us your name and your contact information and we'll get in touch with you and we'll put you in a connect group. Our Lord, CTA, certainly challenges each of us to get out of our comfort zone and to make a kingdom difference. What is the CTA? What is the call to action? Make disciples everywhere. Okay, we've seen the authority of Jesus and we've seen the command of Jesus. Now I want you to see the promise of Jesus. Look at the last part of verse 20. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I had one man say to me one time, Pastor, that's why I never fly in an airplane, because Jesus is only with me when I'm low. That's not the meaning of that phrase, okay? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So how can CFBC meet the needs, meet the demands of the Lord's CTA, his call to action? How can you as believers get in on that action? Obviously, we're going to need some help. We need some supernatural help. And I'm so glad that the Lord made the promise he made right here at the end of the Great Commission. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm so glad he didn't send Peter, James, and John and the rest of those guys out into the world to carry the gospel to the world without promising them that he would be with them. You see, we have the promise of his continual presence in our lives. If you go across the street to share the gospel with your neighbor, Jesus is with you. If in the midst of a family reunion, you pull off a cousin that you've been praying about and you share the gospel with him, I tell you, Jesus is with you. If you go on a mission trip to Thailand or to the Philippines or to Mexico or wherever you're going, Jesus is with you. He promises his continual presence. Now listen, we also have the promise of his continual power. His continual presence, his continual power. In Romans 1:16, Paul wrote, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We make disciples by going and sharing the gospel, by baptizing new believers, and by teaching the truth of his word to these new believers so that they can be healthy and grow spiritually and be strong, so that they too could make disciples. So here's the CTA of the risen and exalted Christ. I believe you could probably say it with me. Make disciples everywhere. Say it with me. Make disciples everywhere. Now we do this under the authority of the risen Christ. We do this by embracing the strategy of the risen Christ, by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. And we do this knowing the promise of the risen Christ, that he will always be with us and he will always provide us with his supernatural power to get the job done. So my challenge to you today is simple. Do your part. Do your part. You say, Pastor, I'm a believer, but I'm not called to doing that stuff. Yes, you are. You're fooling yourself if you think that Jesus saved you so you could sit on your hands and play it safe. Let me tell you, friend, when you believe in Jesus, you said, Lord, I'm living under your authority. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'm following you. If you're following him, you're going to follow him right into the action of getting the gospel to the world, of making disciples everywhere. So do your part. Share the gospel with your friends and your relatives. Pray for these young missionaries. Give to support them and SBC missionaries and church planters. So I ask you, will you do what Jesus tells us to do here? He's commanding us. Will you do it? Say, Pastor, I've never done anything like that before. That's okay. You can do it. I love what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. So let's get involved. I'm going to ask our staff to come, our worship team to come, and I'm going to invite you today to do something, to say to the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. I want to live under your authority. I want to be who you've called me to be and do what you call me to do. Lord, I am yours. Maybe you need to submit to believer's baptism. You come to one of these staff members and tell them that you want to be baptized. Maybe you want to be a part of the mission trip with John Aaron and his family going to Indianapolis. Come to John Aaron. Just tell him. Sign me up. Maybe you want to be a part of supporting them. Meet them out here in the lobby with me and speak to them and just pray over them. Encourage them. I encourage you. Let's make a difference for the kingdom. Don't ever allow Collierville First Baptist Church to play it safe. Let's make a difference. Let's take the call to action that our Lord has given us and run with it. Amen? Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in our heart, that we would submit to you fully and completely this morning for your glory. Lord, if there's somebody who needs to be saved, I pray they would come to one of our staff members and they would believe in you, Lord Jesus, and be gloriously saved. I pray if there's somebody who needs to be baptized, they would come and submit to believer's baptism. If there's somebody that needs to be involved in one of these mission opportunities, Lord, I pray that you would lay it on their heart and let them come and bow before you and give their heart and their soul to you this morning in that endeavor. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we pray that you would be exalted and glorified in our response this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. So let the glory of your name
early today, and I did it on purpose. I'm going to ask Zach and Becca, if you'll stand right in here. Weston, if you'll give some room. Come on up. Come up here, Weston. Ruth Ann, if you'll come up here. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want some of, not all of you, but I want some of you to get around each one of them, put your hand on their shoulder and pray over them. Let's do it right now, okay? John Aaron, you and Emily, stand right over here. And we want to get some folks around John Aaron and Emily and pray for their Indianapolis mission trip. Just go ahead, you can pray out loud. Thank you for praying over these special folks. Amen. And thank you for coming to church today. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad you could be a part of this challenging day in the life of Cardinal First Baptist Church. I want to encourage you, remember, make disciples everywhere. And do your part. Amen? Do your part. You can do it. With the help of the resurrected Christ, the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can do it. Amen? Sam, would you close in prayer?
Yes, sir. Thank you for being here. If you have a guest card or a prayer request, you can put them in the boxes as you leave. Also, we're taking up nominations for deacons. You will find those in the hallway. As you leave, there'll be a sheet of paper that you can pick up. And also, you were given a sheet of paper as you come in. We're looking for people to serve on committees. So pray over those. You can nominate deacons. You can nominate other people to be on the committees. Or you can volunteer to sign up for a committee to be considered for it. We're going to remember one other thing. We're taking up for life choices. We began on Mother's Day, and we're going to collect them all, bottles with currency, prefer checks, you know, rather than coins. I'm going to give that plug. But bring them back on Father's Day, which is 2 weeks away. You can still pick up some right now. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we come, we thank you for this word. Lord, as we go, help us to make disciples everywhere, in our neighborhood, in our family, at work, and as you challenge us as we go, wherever we go, to make Jesus known. Lord, I pray for our kids who will be at kids camp this week to protect them. And Lord, may they come to the knowledge that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray for BKCs as we, backyard kids clubs, as we make preparations for that. Lord, work in the hearts of those who will be there so that they'll know who Jesus is. And may we make disciples everywhere as we go. In Christ's name, amen.